Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of Mark, the gospel text which has already been read. I'll never forget the day that my first child was born. 1982, I was going to school, seminary, where we live in Fort Wayne, and the Brewers are playing the Orioles in a one-game play-in, and it was kind of a lengthy labor. 1984, I'll never forget the day my second child was born. Kalispell, Montana, shorter labor, born just before midnight. I left at 3 o'clock, stopped at a diner on the highway for a burger. Our last was born in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 1989. I was at a pastor's conference, mentioned to some of the brethren that my wife was due soon, and they said, "How soon?" And I said, "Any day now." And they said, "You need to leave." And I did. Went home. She was born on a Sunday morning. It was kind of awkward. I'll never forget that one either. But what if you get a blue baby? A baby with a heart defect and the blood's not circulating. And what if that baby has some sort of other defect or deformity? What if you take that baby home and after a few days you notice something's not quite right here? Like Bartimaeus, for example. That Hebrew word bar means son. You've heard that word when a young man, Jewish man, gets bar mitzvahed. It means he becomes a son of the law. And these days, bat mitzvah for the daughter of the law. And we hear of things like Simon bar Jonah, son of Jonah, to distinguish him from other Simons. But the boy in the story here, actually is a man, is not called by a name. He's called Bartimaeus. We've made that into Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus. He's the son of Timaeus. He's not given a name. Why, when that boy was born, was he not given a name? Well, they didn't have hospitals. The boy was born at home. And after a few days, likely his mother began to notice that something wasn't quite right. The boy responded to sound. He responded to smells. He responded to his mother's touch, but he did not respond to things you can see. Horrified, she put her face up into his, moved it from side to side, made faces, nothing. She waved her hand in front of his face, nothing. Dr. Schmidt, in his book, Under the Influence, will take it from here. Dr. Schmidt says, quote, "As we have already noted, human life in the Greco-Roman world was extremely cheap. People were expendable. This was especially true for infants born with physical defects such as blindness. Blind infants were commonly abandoned in the wilderness or taken to die in a mountain gorge. In one part of Greece, for example, blind babies were cast into the sea. Boys who survived their blind infancy or who became blind later in childhood usually became galley slaves, and blind girls were commonly destined to a life of," end of quote. And that's why the boy did not have a name. Naming is kind of a big deal, a bigger deal then than it was now. Why would you name something that is nothing? Actually, it was worse than nothing. The mother had carried that thing around in her belly for 9 months, and for what? The father had paid for her to eat for two, and instead of a healthy son, what am I supposed to do with this? I guess we'll have to feed it out and take it to the market. And both parents had a theological dog in this fight. They had brought a blind child into the world. And that question that we've heard, who sinned that the boy was born blind? Him or his parents? It's not a question commonly asked in these days, but in those days, if you recall from John's gospel, the judges spent most of a chapter trying to answer that question. And some people would think that this son of Timaeus was born blind because, well, just what was his sin anyway, I wonder? Maybe it was her sin. You know, I heard, actually it looks like Timaeus was not such a bad guy after all. He did not apparently abandon the baby in the woods or throw it into the sea. We do meet Bartimaeus. It means son of Timaeus as an adult. And if the worst possible case scenario for him was an early death, then the best possible case scenario, he made it to adulthood, Timaeus fed him out, then kicked him out, and he made a living by begging. I was at a baseball card show in Wisconsin in the late 80s, around Verona, I think, back in the neighborhood in the summer. We used to ride our bikes down the hill to Herman's. It was a mom-and-pop grocery store on Andalusia Road. Then Eagle Supermarket went up. Herman's closed. Pizza Joint moved in there, then across the street. We never bought any groceries there at Herman's. And any money we had was spent on baseball cards. Bought our baseball cards, all the money we had, rode back up to the hill, and then we opened them, and that was a big deal. You never knew what you were going to get in a pack of baseball cards. And there were highs, and there were lows. Then I went away to school, got married, grew up in that order, and the cards ended up in my mother's attic. Mother and father, one day my mother came across them asking if I wanted them or should I just throw them away. I'll pick them up next time I'm home. So I'm at the baseball card show, just pulled into the parking lot, got out of my car. Heard somebody shouting, "Gail's here! Out of the way! Gail's coming through!" And the crowd parted. And there he was, the Kansas Comet, former Chicago Bear, Hall of Famer Gale Sayers was in the house, and that was a big deal. He was signing things. I already told you about that time when Greg Jennings was pushing a double stroller through the airport in Honolulu. Big crowd around him. Jesus got that all the time. Got that all the time. And here he's doing what I call ambulatory pedagogy. He's walking and he's teaching, multitasking. As he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. They say that people who don't have one sense, like sight, make up for it by developing the senses they do have, like hearing. Bartimaeus heard. Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Coincidence? I don't think so. I think that Bartimaeus is a Christian. He believes in Jesus. And I think that because he talks and he acts like a Christian. That's why I think he's a Christian. A couple of the physical properties of Christians, they act and they talk like Christians. Jesus compares us to salt. I think that everybody and his brother knew that Jesus was in Jericho, and they all knew where he was headed. He'd made that very clear. He was going to Jerusalem. And if Jesus was in Grand Mound, and I know that he's headed to DeWitt, and I want a chance encounter with Jesus, I'm going to do my begging out on Highway 30. Likely, he's been blind all his life, probably spent a lifetime wondering what things look like. What do things look like? And he has one shot, and he's going to take it. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah, he acts like a Christian, waiting for Jesus to come to him, and he sounds like a Christian, calling Jesus by his messianic title, asking for mercy like we do. And the people told him to put a lid on it. And why would you do that? Why would you tell him to put a lid on that stuff? Well, it doesn't sound like a very Christian thing to do, does it? To tell the blind man to stop asking Jesus for mercy. Doesn't sound very Christian, does it? You've heard the term systemic racism. You want to see systemic racism? Look at the Jim Crow laws in the South before the Civil Rights Movement. It was a series of laws written to keep black people away from and legally inferior to white people. And the effects of those laws, and we're still feeling the effects of those laws today, it was a Southern thing, it was the intended effect was that the poorest, lowest Southern white man still had somebody he could look down on, any black man. That's what Jim Crow was all about. And that's what systemic racism looks like. And then along comes the Christian civil rights movement, led by a pastor, Martin Luther King. And their organization was the Southern Christian Leadership Council, made up of a lot of pastors and Christians. They got rid of those things. And like I said, the effects still linger. I think that it made those crowds feel good about themselves to walk past that blind beggar every day. No matter how bad my life is, well, at least I'm not Bartimaeus. At least I'm not that guy. And they maybe don't want him to be healed. They don't want Jesus to do anything about that. And they told the man to put a sock in his pie hole. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And now he sounds a lot like me, maybe a lot like you, but he cried out all the more. And he still sounds like a Christian. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man and told him, the ESV says, take heart. Some say, cheer up. Some say, have courage. That word appears 7 times in the New Testament, often to calm somebody's fears. But Bartimaeus seems to be anything but afraid. Or it's used when Jesus is about to perform a miracle. Yeah, that's the ticket. And he throws off his jacket, springs to his feet, made a beeline to Jesus, who asked the blind man, what do you want for me to do to you? As if he didn't know. It's one of the reasons why God tells us to pray. God knows what you need, but he kind of likes to be asked. Parents know what their children need often, but they like to be asked and maybe say thank you too. And the man asked, Master, let me receive my sight. And it was done. Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Oh, so that's what a tree looks like. And that must be a bird up in the sky. And man, that sun is brighter than I ever would have expected. And followed him on the road. Followed him on the road. The translations often say the way, the road. We would say the road. In the New Testament, it means the Christian walk. That road, that way, that Christian walk. A concept that goes back to the Old Testament. The psalmist, for example, saying things like, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Christian walk. In Acts, Luke tells us that the Christians in the early church understood themselves as following in the way, the road. the one Jesus talks about in John 14:6, that has its final destination in heaven, but first, life on this earth. First, and then we get to our destination. I remember Forrest Gump's mom was right when she said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I say, every day is like a pack of baseball cards. Sometimes you get Mickey Mantle. I still have a 1966 Bob Bolin pitcher for the Giants, and it's not in very good shape. The road that Jesus takes is bumpy. It's hard. It leads to Jerusalem, and Bartimaeus knew where that road went. He knew where it was going, and he followed. Saying those things, quoting Dr. Schmidt, about the treatment of blind people in the pagan world, I don't know if it's troubling to you to hear me talk like that, but it's troubling to me to hear me talk like that. So that blue baby, gonna throw that thing into the trash, right? The baby born with any of a number of defects, you're gonna euthanize it at the hospital, right? That baby born blind, are you gonna just put her off to the side, keep her comfortable, let nature take its course, which with a baby, there's only one course nature takes without care. And what's perhaps even more troubling is that I hear people increasingly talking like that all the time. Famously, a year or two ago, child born with, quote, severe deformities, what do you do? Governor of Virginia advocates, quote, the infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, end of quote. And then there would be a discussion about whether or not we're going to commit infanticide. That's what you call the killing of infants, infanticide. Are we going to do that or not? Yeah, you're not taking it out in the woods, not throwing it into the sea. Unclear the best way to do that, but modern medicine can do. And so it is that the unthinkable becomes thinkable. And you talk about it, and the unthinkable becomes thinkable and then doable. And then eventually it becomes the norm, and people don't even think about it anymore. I told you about talking to my doctor. He's a PK, pastor's kid. He picks my brain about my stuff. I pick his brain about his stuff. And he and I are amazed at how much modern medicine can do, and it is amazing. But he says to me, how do you teach these young doctors to care? Of course, there is no class you can teach. And I see it all the time. Saw it this week. I see a lot of people in medicine, including hospitals and nursing homes, who care very deeply about their people. But more and more I'm seeing, not so much. So if you don't want to be a pastor or a deaconess or a Lutheran school teacher, you can go into one of the called caring professions. Doctors, nurses, and the like. They are badly in need of people who don't have to be taught to care. We know how to care because we follow Jesus down that bumpy road fraught with danger and difficulty to Jerusalem, the road that ends up with a resurrection and eternal life at destination heaven. And if you know that, it changes everything. So Dr. Schmidt talks about how the pagans dealt with the blind. I quoted him. Then he talks about how the Christians changed that as well. He mentions 4th century, 7th century efforts. And in the 14th century, a hospice for the blind was established in Paris. In 1819, a blind man named Louis Braille entered the school. At the age of 3, Louis Braille had lost his left eye in an owl accident. Infection took the right eye. You may recognize that name, Louis Braille. He's the one who invented Braille. Little bumps on the elevator buttons. And Schmidt speaks of Braille's, quote, endless hours, usually at night, depriving himself of sleep in pursuit of a better reading method, end of quote, and he acts like a Christian. He talks like a Christian because he was. And when I talk about vocation, this is what vocation is. Schmidt quotes his final words of Louis Braille. He says, I am convinced that my mission is finished on earth. That's vocation. I tasted yesterday the supreme delight. God condescended to brighten my eyes with the splendor of eternal hope. End of quote. And don't forget that Christian man who noticed a lot of blind children around D.C. and established the Gallaudet School for the Blind. It's still there. And Bartimaeus, the man with no name, his book is written, his name is written in the book of life. Bartimaeus, he started out nothing, less than nothing. And he ended up, well, he made the cut. He got into the Bible. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention him. And that's not nothing. I'm not in the book, that book anyway. And giving him a foretaste of the life to come, Jesus miraculously made blind Bartimaeus to see. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus down the road and made it in the end to his destination, heaven. And that's something. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.